Well, good morning, everyone. How are we? Okay, three of you are okay. We'll pray for the rest of you at the end. Fantastic. Okay, so I'm going to dive right in, if that's okay. Is that okay? We're on the weapons of our warfare, part four. I said it was going to be three. It's actually going to be five. But it keeps growing. Maybe it'll be 50. I don't know. Actually, we're continuing from last week. Last week was called There is Power in the Blood. And essentially, there were two key points last week. Point number one was that our relationship with God, and therefore, by definition, everything else, is defined by the strength of our covenant. Remember that? That legally binding agreement that we have that is fully backed with the resources, all the resources of heaven, protection, provision, promises that are our birthright and our inheritance as a result of that covenant. Number one. And number two, which flows directly out of that, is that our stance of faith is based on, flows out of that covenant. Remember David and Goliath last week? I don't care who this uncircumcised Philistine is, because I'm on the victory side. I'm a child of the Most High. I'm a co-heir with Christ. I have been washed in the blood and secured in the blood. I am covered with the blood. And John, if last week was pretty theological, Bible school, that this week is much more pastoral. And what we're going to do is we're going to apply all of that covenant theory to the nuts and bolts of your personal spiritual battle. Before we get into that, a quick reminder of the status quo. Satan may be a defeated foe. Amen. That'd be a great time for an amen, all you Pentecostals. Satan may be a defeated foe, but he still has a very big mouth. One of the names that the Bible gives him is Accuser of the Brethren. And you know what? This reveals his primary tactic. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." You know, he is an accuser by name, and he is an accuser by nature. And as we all know from bitter personal experience, that's exactly what he does. He bombards us with accusations of failure and inadequacy. He bombards us with lies about how God sees us. A fear that God will reject us, all topped with lashings of guilt and shame. And those are what Paul called fiery darts. But the good news, verse 11, is now we have a mighty weapon at our disposal. Whatever he throws at us, we just refute with the blood. And how we do that is what we are going to unfold this morning. So a good question to start with, I think, what are these accusations? Where does he bombard us and hound us and torment us? He does that repeatedly. He does that relentlessly. He does that cruelly, attempting to discourage, attempting to wear us down, and ultimately to drive us away from God and our security, ultimately our purpose. And I'm going to propose that he does this in three main areas: shame, and identity, and fear. Shame goes like this: look at you, still failing, still flawed. You think God wants anything to do with someone like that? Hide. Stay small. Stay silent. You will never outrun what you've done. And then identity. The accuser says something like this. You're not who God says you are. You're defined by your past, by your weakness, by your wound. Forget child of God. You're nothing special, nothing chosen, nothing new. And then finally, he uses fear. God's not as strong as you like to believe. It's me you ought to be listening to. Everything could fall apart at any moment. God won't come through for you. You're on your own. So better brace yourselves, because disaster is always just around the next corner. You know, shame's purpose is to make you hide. It's to make you hide from God. It's to make you hide from others. And ultimately to hide from your kingdom purpose and calling. He attacks your identity to distort and dismantle your blood-bought, resurrection-empowered, spirit-sealed identity so that you live beneath your inheritance. And fear's purpose is to trap you in a mindset of survival, to drain any courageous faith or